forever. Dog.
Step right up for a podcast episode like no other, full of marks, looky-loos, and talk of the Chicago World's Fair that for once does not lead to H.H. Holmes' murder castle. Leanne Bowen joins us to discuss carnivals on today's thrilling podcast, The Ride. Welcome to Podcast The Ride, the show hosted by three cake-eating marks. I'm Jason Sheridan, joined as always by Mike Carlson.
Yes, I'm here. My name is Mike Carlson, and I am a cake-eating mark.
Figurative. I am both figurative and literal cake-eating mark. Scott yeah. Gardner here, of course, as well.
Yeah. Am I correct, Jason, that did you also visit a website devoted to carny lingo?
Scott, I visited any number of websites about carny lingo and reached the point where I'm like, I have to set up to record. I have to tap out at the letter K.
I had to tap out because so much of the lingo was making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A lot of it was very upsetting to me. And I don't know if you were looking at the same one as me, but even more upsetting than the lingo itself was the graphic design of the white Comic Sans over just bright blue. It was upsetting to look at, not a visual carnival in the least.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly where I ended up. I started on a website with like 12 terms, and I was like, this isn't enough. There has to be more. And be careful what you wish for, because you're really getting to the weeds there.
I'm excited about that carny language because it has so much crossover with pro wrestling slang.
Yes, I encountered a lot of that too.
So I am a mark. I'm a mark for cake. I ate a cake last week. And when I say I ate a cake, I ate the whole cake. I did the whole thing myself.
Solo?
Yes, solo. Yeah. Yes.
I'm not lying. Why'd that come about?
It was a smaller cake.
Okay.
Lindsay was gone for a couple days. So when no one's around, you're going to have to eat that whole cake. Jason, you know what I'm saying.
Hey, brother, I know what you're talking about, especially when no one's around or if people are around, you know.
Let's bring our guest in to yes. see what she thinks about eating a cake alone.
She is not a mark. In carnival parlance, actually once was an agent, a worker of the carnival. she is a writer and producer, I believe, on the Apple TV show Ted Lasso. Right? Yes, she's nodding
yes,
her head. Okay. It's Leanne
that's
Bowen.
Correct. Thank you. This is so, I always, like, I'm trying to learn podcast etiquette, and something in my brain is like, you can't talk until your name is said. And so I was just like, say my name. Hi.
Yeah. Hey. Hi. I want to say it for any other future appearances here, otherwise, and any guests on our show. Feel free to interrupt us anytime. It doesn't matter.
Cool.
Nothing we're saying is important. So, yeah.
No protocols.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
yeah.
true. I was an agent. And yes, I'm a writer on Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. What is a mark? I don't know what a mark is.
Oh, it's like a rube. It's a sucker.
A rube. A sucker. Yeah.
It's somebody that can be taken advantage of, essentially. So, like, if it's a crooked carnival game.
I get it. Yes, that like that guy with the like short arms, he's the mark for a baseball tossing, like because you can't throw it. I get it.
With short arms, yes. So yeah, you're limited. You're not gonna smash those bottles down.
Mm-hmm. I hope, and I don't mean to be ableist. I don't know. I guess short arms could also throw very far. I apologize.
You're just saying it's a descriptor to point out
exactly.
somebody.
He's
it's like a
like,
red hat.
Yeah, that guy can sing and play the piano. He can't throw a baseball. That's exactly.
Yeah, a Jason Sheridan type, you know, where it's like that doesn't make any sense. What is he? Yes. Mark comes from the carnies when they would, you know, after someone lost a game, they would pat them on the back with chalk on their hands. So you would literally look like other workers would look for the marks in the crowd and start and try to lure them over. Like, come here, try this game now, you know?
That's amazing. That's amazing. That sounds, that seems really smart. I will say that's kind of the energy that I could see happening. I didn't see that happening at the carnival, but like they seem like a very tight knit community and I could see them having little secret things going on like that. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
Officially say we're talking carnivals today.
Yes.
We haven't done a lot of carnival talk on Podcast The Ride. So yeah, we're going to finally address some of these topics I know everybody wants to know about.
And with the broader umbrella of carnivals, it seems like Leanne, like your inn was a carnival that you that you worked at in the recent past, but the broader umbrella also seems to include circa 1890s, like weird trainside hobo era. You did not work at a carnival in the 1890s, just to get that out of the way.
It was, I think, 2015. Fairly recent. I don't know if there's been a lot of like advances in carny like culture, so there might be some hanging honors of the 1800s. But yeah, it was interesting. I wasn't looking to work at a carnival. It was interesting because I ran a red light and I had like a $400 ticket, and I usually would pay it, but for some reason I decided to go down to the courtroom. And I didn't know that you can do community service instead of paying tickets. I was like, oh, I'm never paying a ticket again. I'll just do community service. So I thought it was something like cleaning up the side of the road or, you know, I don't know, doing something. And I saw down the street from my house, there was like worker carnival. And I was like, are you serious? I get to work a carnival? Like, I would have done that on a Saturday just to like hang out and see what it was like. So it was cool. It was really, I went down there and I was maybe the oldest person that was working. It must have been city run or something because it was the city of Los Angeles. Yeah. And there was this older lady sitting it was at a high school. And this older lady sitting in the physical education office. And then literally it was me and like six teenagers that were the like authority on this carnival. And she just gave us walkie talkies and keys to the go-karts. And she was like, yeah, just make sure like all the trash is taken out and like make sure all the trash bins are taken over here. Make sure they have all what they need. Cause basically they would hire this company, and I'm using finger quotes because they seem more like a roving community of drifters.
Okay, sure.
And they basically ran each stand. They set it up. They planned it all out. Like, it was their deal, and we just were sort of, I guess. And I don't remember seeing security there. So that's all I did all day. And at the end of the day, I was like, okay, guys, pick up your, and then when I was done, she was like, here, pick up your envelope of tickets, go have fun. I was like, oh shit, I get to go like go on rides and stuff. But I can go on. It's crazy. Carnival rides, after seeing them set it up, it terrifies me. Like, I had to sit, I'll stop talking a little while you guys can get into this.
No, please.
But, I think I got there at like 6 a.m. and I got the run of the land, and then they showed up at like 8 a.m. And as they were coming in, I was directing them, and then one guy like rolled down his window. He was like, hey, where's the nearest liquor store? And I was like, cool, okay, you're going to set up a ride and then go get liquor. And so, carnival rides, if you have a feeling like they're scary or you shouldn't go on it, your feeling is probably right, because it is, it's crazy.
Unvetted community of folks, at least in the one that you experienced setting it up. Did it feel just like random people who are strong or not strong?
I think not strong. I think they, they're just regular people. I don't want to be like mean, but I mean, like, I don't know, like, has anyone been to Fresno? Like, I feel like they were like, they all were like, I feel like, oh, this is a family from Bakersfield. They're like, we can get into the carny business. And they have these huge like wrenches that were like the size of my body, and they would set up these big, you know, rides, and then they would just sit at them all day and take tickets, and nothing broke, thank God.
When you were illustrating that, you had kind of a miserable pose, as if the people who set these things up with the giant wrenches then just stare bitterly at their creation all day.
Absolutely. There was no joy. There was no joy. I think the people that had more like pizzazz were the people running the games, because, you know, you have to engage people. But even then, it was just like, like, I've been to, like, a county fair, and it feels a little more fun, but this was just a little sadder because it was at a high school in the valley, and, it just wasn't, it didn't have what, like, the Orange County Fair, the LA County Fair had. But the craziest thing that happened was there was a little girl who, I swear to God, had to be 14. It was a family affair, too, so, you know, clear as family fair. And she looked like she had giant angel wings tattooed on her back. And I was like, first of all, she's a baby. Why is she working at this carnival? And why does she have giant angel wings tattooed on her back? It was such an experience. I wish I had talked to them more, but I think I was just,
keeping your head down to some extent.
Yeah, keep my head down. Try not to let stuff fall on me.
Yeah. It's interesting because, I mean, we would have, there would be a yearly carnival that would be at the church by our house, and we would always go. I think I've told the story before. I got thrown up on the tilt-a-whirl. Five of us in a tilt-a-whirl car. My friend next to me, it might be six, it was six. And then my sister.
Many. Yeah, that's too many.
Far too many.
And I could see the car and just being like, get in, that's fine, get in, everyone get in.
Well, yeah. When my friend turned to me and said, I'm going to be sick, and I was trying to yell at the operator, my friend is going to be sick, it didn't matter. It didn't. That isn't a concern. And then I was the buffer. I got all the throw up, and my sister and other two friends did not get any throw up on them.
Oh, my God.
But there was, you definitely like kind of felt like, oh, everybody that works here like is a fan, like they all know each other. Like they've been obviously on the road forever because this is sort of just, they're like traveling musicians or something. Yes. Like they've just been, they're road warriors.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Similar to roadie stuff too, where it's this like just massive, you sort of don't think about the scale of this stuff and the setup and tear down and how briefly some of it can be up. And in just my vague research, hearing about shifts that are 24 hours long of setting up a Ferris wheel and then having to drive it all night and all day to the next place. That sounds like incredibly tiring, which might be where, that might be where I ran into the carny term beanies. Jason, did you read about beanies?
I think I read about beanies, but I think I've forgotten more than I've ever known about carny lingo at this point.
This one jumped out because beanies are amphetamines, because if you have to do that level of stuff for 24 hours, like to set up, tear down an entire Ferris wheel and then drive for the entire rest of the day. You might need a little help. You might need a little bit of beanies. But again, is this what I'm describing from the 1910s? I don't want to go saying that the people that you worked for, Leanne, are cranked up on beanies.
I really hate to like stereotype and like, but it was that. Like it was exactly that. And that's this is a thing. These are things that happen.
I don't blame them. I guess I would also take beanies if I had to.
Absolutely. But. I'm sure the profit turnover isn't very good, and they're just trying their best, but. Yeah, half of them were, I know for sure one guy went to get alcohol before the day started. So there's that. And who knows what else was going on.
There would be certain rides. Like for whatever reason, I think like setting up a tilt-a-whirl. And tilt-a-whirl was my favorite carnival ride as a kid. I liked that the best. That one, for whatever reason, seems to like, I'm not as scared by that. But there would also be a ride where they were just hanging swings and you would swing around. And as more that I think about going on that now as an adult, where it's like really just a chain. They just hook a chain to something. Like that to me seems like that can just fly out. How does that not happen more where there's like crazy stuff? Because they're just transporting the stuff. It's like Disneyland stuff. There's always, you know, there's been accidents or whatever, but those sit in the same spot forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're not constantly taken apart and put back together like every few days.
I have like pieces of furniture that I've taken apart during like three moves and they're never the same. The entertainment center is not the same as it was when I first put it together. It's just like that's physics, I think.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Nothing broke. I've always loved the carnival rides that would pop up in parking lots. Like, I grew up in the valley and there was like, yes, here comes one. And I would ride the rides, but nothing has ever broken.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen, I don't know if you guys have ever gone through like videos and seen videos of like rides that, I'm sure you guys have, like this podcast is probably, dug deep into broken rides.
Sure. I saw it, well, you know what you end up with a lot of on YouTube is like sensationalist thumbnails that portray some like impossible breakage, like a kid starting to fly towards the sun. That's how high he's going. And you click on it.
The sun has a mouth that's about to eat him as well. And you're like, I don't think you'd click on it because you're like, I just want to make sure this didn't happen.
I think I would have read about this in every newspaper, but then you click on things and they're a little more mild and like, wait, what's the accident? Like, it's too blurry to even tell. I guess with this on the way to talk about carnivals, I did see a pretty horrible one where some big thing swung up and then just like slammed back to the ground. But I think here's where I have some hope is that, all right, we're talking about carnivals. Let me find out about some grisly carnival accidents. And they weren't that easy to find. Not as if there are hundreds every year. I don't think that's the case at all.
Well, yeah. That's very promising.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
And it seems like most websites about carnival and stuff are like, well, in the modern day, most are run pretty honestly. Like, they've figured out, like, well, there's ways to run these games where it's like, well, it's not crooked, but it's still a pain in the ass for people where they just end up dishing out money because kids want a good prize. They don't want a tiny comb. I just remember, like, any Chuck E. Cheese or, like, carnival games, like, the entry-level prize is just, like, would you like a tiny comb? Mm-hmm. What about a kazoo?
It's like you see all those big prizes, and then, like, you won, and then they pull out something underneath, and it's just, like, a pencil sharpener or something.
Yes.
non-display prize, sure.
That would always get me.
And it's funny because the history, like, of American popular culture all goes back to, like, the same wells. It's all garbage. It all goes back to, like, carnivals and then vaudeville and then the funny pages and all of this stuff. But what the modern, like, version of a carnival comes from, it seemed like everyone kind of agreed on, like, pointing at, like, well, the 1893 Chicago World Fair is, like, the origin of, like, the modern carnival. Because, like, that introduced the concept of the midway and like every carnival is a midway. The World's Fair had a lot of exhibits, had a lot of modern technology, but the thing that people gravitated towards, of course, was the Ferris wheel and the games and the prizes and in a less enlightened time, the freak shows, you know?
Yeah. It's that the exhibits always, they're still weird. Like, they have them at the Orange County Fair and the LA County Fair in Pomona, where, like, table setting, like, you can, like, set a table and then that you compete for ribbons for, like, how you set a table.
For setting a table? Really?
Yeah, it's like,
it's a huge thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, my theme is apples. So you have a little plate in the shape of an apple and the placemat's an apple. And then you have glasses and apple juice. I don't know. There's wild. It's like decorating a cake, except it's table setting. I do not get it. It's fascinating. Also, kind of like not great. Some of them like, okay, this is really shitty. I was like, this is the Orange County Fair. You better bring it.
Yeah, that feels a high profile. Like, you have to bring an A-game to the Orange County Fair, yeah. which is a thing I feel like I heard even living in Illinois. I heard that phrase. I know what it was necessarily, but
the Orange County Fair?
The Orange County, it sounds, I think I knew it before I knew, like, I lived here, is what I'm saying.
Have you been now?
I have never been.
Hmm. Yeah. Fairs are, like, deal. State fairs, county fairs are such, they're weird own beasts, because they, like, share a lot of very similar things to carnivals, but then they'll set up for, like, a month or a few months, and, like, carnivals are usually in and out in, like, a week or less.
That's a quicker thing.
Probably because in the past they had to get the hell out of Dodge. Who knows what transpired.
Before all the people in the town talked to each other and realized they had been swindled.
Yeah.
And then they ran them out, like ran them out of town. Yes.
There's a thousand of us with the chalk marks on our back.
Right.
Everyone like, in hey, town wait a minute. Has one.
Did you see?
The
you
whole
have it
city
too.
Has marks on
and my son and my daughter and my priest, all of us.
We talked about games. Games loomed so large in my child brain because, like, I don't. We knew, I think, those were like crappy, like full of like cheap styrofoam plush, oftentimes. It was not.
Yes.
Your high quality plush that we might have had at home. But the idea of winning, which I think is also why I liked casinos, there was something about like winning, like how good you were could win something that would like just make me gravitate toward the games. And my strongest game memory is at this carnival that we had by the church. There was a man who was operating it, and it was as close, I think, as I would have ever gotten to like old-timey carnival barker, but he had his own style, and I will never ever forget the what he was saying, because we would repeat it for years, and he would be like, "We're playing for another biggin, we're playing for a biggin, we're two biggins for a jumbo, two like an over like playing. Hey, step right up there, you sir, you are playing for a biggin." And he would talk about the different sizes depending on how many people I think were playing this game. I don't remember what game it was. But for years, we would say, we're playing for another biggin. We're playing for a biggin. And we got so excited to play for a biggin with this gentleman.
What a biggin end up being?
Did you win a biggin? I did not. I never won a biggin. I don't even think I won anything at that game. But we would play that game because we also were entertained by this man and his sales pitch. Yeah. But a big, you know, you've seen, they always have those giant things, and I think a jumbo was the biggest one you could get. A biggin was the next size down, and then there was probably, as Leanne was talking about, the under the counter you know, decoder ring that you probably got if you didn't actually do anything. I can like see this man's face in my mind. I know this was over 20 years ago.
That one website that Scott and I were talking about with the Comic Sans like glossaries made a very, it was like finding a diamond in a rough, a diamond in the rough, where it was like, Barker is not a term carnies use. That came along in the 20th century. It came from someone else, and it quoted a couple of like lifer carnival professionals, and they claim to be showmen. That the term they used was showman. And I found an institution in Florida called the International Independent Showman's Museum. So I think there may be some truth in there. Also, it is hard to tell where there is any truth just in the nature of this carnival business.
Right. I saw some of this too. The stuff I said is that what they call barkers don't like the term, and they prefer to be referred to as talkers. They're carnival talkers. And I'm like, who cares? Get out of here. you guys get to choose a term for this specific, like, I don't, like, people have to fight to get the pronouns they want used, and then there's other people who are like, talkers, please. This is not a plight
that
I care about.
Too.
Yeah, really.
Well, we talk, so I mean, you can get a little more creative with it. And Barker is fun. It reminds me of dogs, and dogs are like, mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong with barking? I guess, does that imply that there's, they seem to think that implies no skill, that we are just barking. Mm. But barks are cool, and they make you happy like dogs, right? There's no problem with barking.
Yeah.
Scott, the outside talker lures you into the tent, and then the inside talker takes over. Obviously.
Oh, they just, I guess they feel like they have a little more finesse than barking.
Yeah.
Talking requires a little more finesse, I guess. They don't want to be too, like, hoity-toity about it. They just want to be like, it's approachable. Talking is approachable.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just trying to be difficult. They're just like, you're a barker, huh? I don't like the sound of that. I want to wriggle out of this label. I don't know why, though. The other thing that I noticed about just in Googling carnival barker is that like 8 of the top 10 results are people calling Donald Trump a carnival barker. He is less politician and more carnival barker. Or even Michael Bloomberg tweeted, Donald Trump, we know many of the same people in New York. Behind your back, they laugh at you and call you a carnival barking clown. But that's not the barker.
Right. That's not a thing, yeah.
No, the clowns are silent, typically, or often at least, and they would not be the person. They're the person on the inside talking, probably not the it's this kind of sloppiness in metaphors that I think caused Bloomberg the presidency.
It's just the New York elite, they're just not in touch with what the real people know.
Well, yeah, he immediately insulted the clowns, he lost mm-hmm. those votes, and then he insulted mm-hmm. carnival professionals, so mm-hmm. You know,
true. Remember when he said this? Yeah. He said this at the debate too, I think, and then all the clowns in the audience all hushed. They all like, ooh, just cut to a section of them.
They went back to their jobs at Congress. They went back to their jobs at Congress.
Yes,
got right. it.
Stick it to them, Jason.
Boy,
hell yeah,
we all enjoyed that.
Leanne, let's like just when you were a kid, were you like way into rides and this type of stuff in general, or was it sort of just like a once a year, twice a year thing? Like, did you go to Knott's Berry? Where did you grow up?
Oh, also? Yeah. I grew up in the Valley, so mm-hmm. we would do Six Flags a lot. Our school would do Six Flags. I loved Six Flags when I was little, like Magic Mountain. I did Disneyland maybe like 2 or 3 times, but it was so expensive. Mm-hmm. And then Knott's Berry Farm. I did Knott's Scary Farm for the first time when I was like in my 20s. And I was like, how come I never got into this? But yeah, I loved rides. I loved, I was terrified, but loved the like free fall rides. And mm-hmm. for some reason, I can't do them anymore. I don't know what it was. I don't know where in my 20s or early 30s, I think I went to Disneyland and I went on the haunted, the one Tower at California Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Tower of Terror.
And I went on it and I was like, and it scared the shit out of me. I was just like, my head was like curled down into my body and I was like, I'm never doing this again. And I don't know why. I don't know how that happened. But yeah, when I was little, I loved Magic Mountain. I loved rides. I would drag my dad to take me to Magic Mountain. He would literally sit at the bottom of each ride when me and my brother and sister would go on. I remember the point, I think it was like I was in my mid-20s, Goliath at Six Flags. Mm. I don't know if you guys know the big orange one. It was when it first opened up, and I waited, the line was so long, and we got to the top and finally got to the front of the line, and I remember I stepped into the car and I was like, I can't. I stepped right out and all my friends were like, what are you doing? I was like, I can't do this, and they went on the ride, and then I went on an hour later because I was like, no, I'm going to do it. I got on and I regretted it. I was like, I was right. I shouldn't have got on this ride. I hate flying now. Like I used to love, I've been to different countries. I never gave a second thought to getting on a plane. But now I'm like, I have to take I have to either drink or I have to take a sleeping pill. I can't. Something about, I think it's something about the like loss of control. Like I, something mm-hmm. about that. I just, I can't. And I will not, I probably won't get on another roller coaster for the rest of my life. I can
really
say, yeah, I can say that with a lot of confidence.
Not even with, but, just take a sleeping pill. Just that'll help you get through it. Passed out on a
Six Flags. Don't forget your sleeping pills. Don't forget
your sleeping pills. They should sell them at the, just like the funnel cake stand at Six Flags. Yeah. Or just make it in the batter. Just put it in the batter, for God's sake.
Yeah. And those lines are long enough. You can just like take it right before you get in the line.
Sure.
And I realize I just had a kid. I have a 5-month-old. So I'm like, I'm going to be my dad. He's going to want to go to every freaking amusement park, and I'm going to sit at the bottom. But you know.
I'm in the similar. I have a pretty recent baby, and I'm just like praying that he is more brave than me. Like because I was
really?
I'm very fraidy cat. I'm this like Tower of Terror also really scarred me until I. built up some stamina very recently, but I'm like, please just don't be a wimp like your dad. Like, go have some fun. I don't, and I'm also
like
I'll be
that?
The I'll be like forcing him onto stuff that I'll create him being a wimp by wanting it to go the other way.
Were you always like that when you were a kid too?
Yeah, big time. Like super avoided thrill rides and built them up into like bigger monsters than they were.
They're terrifying. Your body is not supposed to be doing those things.
Yeah, it's true. Your brain is not wrong about the feeling.
Yeah.
It knows. It knows what's going on. You just have to override it, and it depends. We've gotten, I think probably not Jason, but Scott and I have both gotten braver about what we're willing to do since going on this, or sorry, since doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's forced us to be, braver. I will say with the flying though, I was bad about flying. There were a couple of years where I was really good about it, and now I am back to bad. I don't know what happened.
Someone recommended to me there's a training school where you can you go through it, you take a class, and then you and the whole class go on a practice flight with these teachers, and they train you to not be afraid of flying. It's
crazy.
Interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah.
So you take a real commercial flight?
You take a real commercial flight, and it's just you. It's like a smaller plane. Like, you go from, like, Southern California to Northern California, and you fly there, and you fly back. It's like an hour and an hour, and you pay for the plane ticket. But, they teach you the different things about a plane, statistics, turbulence, like, never, ever results in a crash.
Right.
So, and there's just all these little things to sort of coping skills, I guess. I always wanted to do that. I just never got around to doing it.
It sounds like a future podcast the right episode, quite honestly.
I was wondering, have you guys gone together to a park or set up a little mic and just like narrate a ride or anything like that? I think that would be
not
fun.
That. No.
Well,
I guess a tiny bit, but
a little bit. We've done some recording in the park. I think there was a controversy early on. We threw out the idea of recording at City Walk, and I think Jason thought we were going to get arrested if we did that.
Yes. Well,
so Jason is scared of the City Walk police more than and Scott and I are afraid of the bigger rides.
Yeah, no, I've always liked flying and roller coasters and all of that sort of thing. I'm just more scared of like errands and sending an email.
Laundry,
emotional vulnerability, asking for what I want and asking for help. So I think everyone has it about some stuff. I just have it about the stupidest things imaginable. Mm.
These are your mental Goliaths.
These are my mental Goliaths.
Emotional roller coasters.
Emotional roller coaster. Yeah, so if you just combine if you just combine anxiety, depression, and happy-go-lucky, it just comes out as flippant, and everyone loves it, and you become a comedian.
I get that, because, like, I have low-grade anxiety and depression, and it was worse when I was in my 20s, and I've always loved horror movies. Like, I've loved just something terrifying me or scaring the shit out of me, and I think it's because it's, like, gets me out of my head. So, mm-hmm. Maybe that's what roller coasters are for.
I'm trying to do horror movies now because I was always scared of the. We've talked about this on the show before. You know, I would go in Blockbuster and I would see, you know, Chucky or Hellraiser, and I would think, oh, these are like literal snuff films where I will watch humans being murdered over and over for 90 minutes or 2 hours. I'll never do it. And I've literally only in my 30s started getting through some of these classics. Yeah. So I'm trying.
I like look for new movies. Like I've searched for movies that I haven't. I feel like I've seen every paranormal type of horror movie ever made. And I'm constantly searching Netflix or looking up lists. And it's like an addiction.
Sure.
But and yeah.
You said you had done Not Scary Farm. In general, do you now like haunted houses and stuff more? Or like horror nights, that type of thing?
I do. I like horror nights. I like when it's a really scary one. Like, I like when it's like, I remember them saying like, the Universal Studio one, they might touch you. And I was like, oh my God, I have to go. I have to do it. Like, I have to do it. And I remember doing one and it was like, it was pretty scary, but no one like touched me, so I was like, oh shit. But so
that stuff throw. I do think there's a lot to that, and as far as like, that's such a it's like a safe place to like excise your fear, that anxiety that we all feel just living.
Yes, I think that's what it is, but I feel like roller coasters, you can still die. It's
like you can.
A step
yeah.
too far.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. That's true. I mean, I think so much of liking theme parks as much as we do, it's still pretty controlled. Everything is about, you know, control. And we're not like Mission Impossible 2, Tom. We're not rock climbing. None of us do that. We don't do like real things. We like a simulated experience of like really dangerous things. I don't want to really go in a haunted house. I don't really even believe in ghosts that much, but I don't really want to do that. But I will go in a house where ghosts are having a party. That's what I'd like. Fake ghosts are having a party. I've been on that 100+ times.
No, that's true. Yeah, I do believe in ghosts. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. And I'm terrified of them. And I would never want to be in a haunted house, a real haunted house. Yeah.
Do you have a ghost story? Do you have an interaction?
I have a spiritual story that is like, it's not scary. Like my dad died and I was there for him in hospice and I took care of him. And then he asked me, and it's been some time. This is not heavy for me. Like 2 years later, he wanted his ashes spread in Mexico. So I went down to Mexico with my brother and my sister and we spread his ashes. And I swear to God, as if he was standing behind me, I heard his voice say, thank you. And like, I'm a very, like it was crazy. I can't explain it. It sounded like his voice existed in the physical world. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it. I don't know. So that kind of just like reaffirmed my sort of like thought that we exist beyond our physical selves. And it was really cool. It was a really cool experience. It didn't terrify me. I was like, oh shit. And it was like, I'm kind of like, oh cool. So when I die, something cool is going to happen. So, and I was in an improv class once and I was telling the story and the girl across from me was like, the same thing happened to me. And she was like, my dad died. And I was like, after he died, I was watching home videos, sitting on my bed alone. No one else was there. And I popped in a tape and she was about to press eject. And then she heard her dad's voice say, no, you want to watch this one. And it was, yeah. And I was like, and we were just like, oh my God, it's so crazy. And then she said she watched the video and it was just her dad on a log, like in a lake, like walking.
Cool.
And she said it was very uneventful and she didn't understand why that one. Mm-hmm. But it was just so
interesting. Well, it feels very dad that you would be, yeah, check this one out. And then it's some mundane thing.
Yeah. So I totally believe in like spirits and like, another plane, but yeah, I'm still terrified of ghosts. Mm-hmm. When my kid would wake up many times in the middle of the night, and I would have to feed her. We live in this house right now that was built in 1942, and me and my fiance are always saying it's haunted, it's haunted. So I'd be there in like the middle of the night feeding her, and I'd be like eyeing the closet or like waiting for something to pop out. And it was like, I'm so glad she sleeps better now, but that was really terrifying for me.
Sure.
Los Angeles has the most haunted energy. And I grew up in Pennsylvania, where everything used to be a battlefield, where like people died.
You're saying it's more haunted here.
I feel like it's more haunted here.
I was in London and I was like, the city is so fucking old. There has to be ghosts there has to be ghosts in this building. So that's so funny. What about LA? Like,
I don't, just the energy. I mean, you hear about like early 20th century LA, there was all those late 20th century LA had tons of cults and new age stuff, but then the tent revivalists and like the just kind of maniac Protestants, like, which they touched on a little in that HBO Perry Mason show of radio pre-televangelists, radio preachers and stuff. And I don't know. I've read stuff about like people thinking like, oh, it's just the light out here. Like the light drew early filmmakers because they needed so much light to develop old film. But it's just like, it's just sunny all the time, just can drive people nuts, you know?
Oh, that's so interesting.
And I find, for me, the way time moves in Los Angeles very strange because, you know, back east, I feel like I would track time with like blizzards or winter, or summer rainstorms and stuff. And it's just the lack of change in weather out here sometimes, or the significant, like we're in the time of year in LA where it's 80 in the day and then like 45 at night. Like it's just like the 30 to 40 degree drop took a lot of time to get used to.
Ghosts make the temperature go down at night.
Well, they do if they're in the room. Like, you know, there's truth there.
I was thinking this, just, I think I said this before on an episode. I think it was Paul Thomas Anderson talking to Marc Maron about like how the Comedy Store was haunted, and never did anything ring more true to me than that statement. Because I was like, the Comedy Store is haunted. If you've ever been in there, it's scarier than any haunted house, probably. There's just that bad, bad energy there.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody mythologizes it. So like, oh, we get the store and like we came up through the store. And it's because you were probably like literally fighting ghosts and spirits there.
The neon Carlin sign is going to come to life and chomp you.
It's like the opening of the cartoon Ghostbusters where like signs are coming to life and it's all just, the Jay Leno's name strangles you. It flies off the wall and strangles
all
you.
All the signatures, all their spirits.
The signatures are all haunted. They're all anthropomorphic signatures that
their
come to life.
Yeah.
And they will, yeah. That's Pauly Shore, of course. He grew up there, so he's been haunted his whole life. Mitzi, everybody, the whole family.
Yeah.
So,
are there any podcasts where you can hear about Mitzi and Pauly and the store? I wonder if that's ever been discussed on a podcast before.
Probably not.
Probably
Silence
not.
Of the
Probably,
Brotherhood,
yeah, we might be the
know?
First. We should get them all on.
I've never heard it before. Let's talk. What is everyone's favorite carnival ride?
I love the Tilt-A-Whirl. I mean, Tilt-A-Whirl, as you can find at fairs and at like, you know, more smaller amusement parks and stuff.
Guys, which one's the Tilt-A-Whirl? I don't. Yeah. I actually
what?
Don't know.
What?
Same.
Why is that?
What?
So, who cares? That's
She's
not so insane.
Not, which? Leanne cannot know, but Scott.
I just don't.
What?
I don't think I've been on one, and I don't know
right
offhand.
Here, I'll
which
show
one
you.
One
I'll show, I'll, I'm
yeah,
bringing.
Sure
it, I'm going to bring it up.
Okay, okay.
The only
is
way.
Is this how when we dangle the carrot of an episode about Tilt-A-Whirl so you never bite?
I have brought up doing Tilt-A-Whirl before and you've never revealed. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good reason to do an episode, I suppose. to learn.
Wow.
I feel like someone listening though. Well, if Leanne doesn't know, like there's I you know I, pic- I no. picture all the carnival rides and I'm like, yeah, that one, that's the tall one, and the kind of round one, that's the spinny one. I don't necessarily know the names.
So here's the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Okay, so it's big. It's the one with the like clamshells.
Oh.
And they're on a track that spins, and then the whole thing is spinning, and there's kind of like an up and down to it.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm so shocked is because we had a Tilt-A-Whirl at the local Santa's Village, which is another theme park that we would go to once or twice a year, in addition to whenever a carnival was around. And to me, the Tilt-A-Whirl was my local Space Mountain. It was the thing I got the most excited for. I was so like that was like number one when we would go to any of these places was like, I got to get back on the Tilt-A-Whirl. So I sort of thought of it in the same way you would think of a classic Disney attraction, which is the reason and I guess because I got thrown up on too. It looms so large. I got puke all over me on one of these things.
And yet still you're so fond.
I still am so fond. I haven't been on one in a long time. But yeah, my memory is just, I was just as excited to go on that as I was Big Thunder or whatever at the time.
Yeah, we went to the Jersey Shore a ton and the Playland in Ocean City. Like, as a kid, that was my, like, all right, first thing, got to go on the Tilt-A-Whirl. Mm-hmm. Mom and or dad or mom or papa, like, you know, someone would be dragged on with me. And I think I liked it because it's, like, thrilling, but it is, it's like, low to the ground and I always felt very safe because you had a big bar and this big like
thing.
The canopy and so like it was thrilling, but it took me a little while when I was young to build up to roller coasters, but I always liked the sensation of the Tilt-A-Whirl
Did Mama and Papa like it?
Oh, they loved it. I mean, there's a million pictures of us when I go back to the shore, when we go down the shore now, when I go back to visit. One of them is going on the Tilt-A-Whirl with.
Who liked it more, Mama or Papa?
Huh? Mama or Papa? Well, they're dead now.
I've just never heard you say those words.
And those are your grandparents.
My mother's
grandparents are Mama and Papa.
Oh, yes.
Wait, say it, or spell it out for me.
M-O-M.
Oh.
M-O-M.
Mum-mum.
Oh, it's a, I thought it was ending with an A. Okay, mum.
Oh,
right.
No, this mum-mum. Isn't. Yeah, no, this is the grandparents. It was to distinguish, they were Mama and Pop-Up, and then my dad's grandparents were Gram, Gram, and Grandpop. I don't know how Grandpop ended up the easiest, like the most normal one, but to distinguish between the one set of grandparents and the other.
Mm-hmm. Pop-Pup? Is there a switch there?
No, it's P-O-P, P-O-P.
Okay, all right.
Pop-Pop.
Yeah.
Just getting clarity.
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
Okay. And I guess now I have Tilt-A-Whirl clarity as well. I don't think I've ever been on a Tilt-A-Whirl, y'all.
Wow.
Am I missing out big time?
Leanne, you have?
First
thing,
what's
the vaccine? Yeah, it's fun. I like that. I like the tilting part of it actually work because you kind of like go back and forth like that. I think it feels safe. I would say, yeah, if you're afraid of heights, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's too crazy. I think it's fun. Yeah.
It's not a scared issue. I just think just have not been in front of one. Have I just passed by them and not chosen it? I don't know.
Wow, so you don't even remember coming across a Tilt-A-Whirl.
I'm sure I've been in the vicinity of one and just not made a point of it.
Okay, let me ask you this then, Scott. Have you been in the vicinity of this ride, which I'm assuming aesthetically you're going to love?
Gravitron.
That was one of my favorite ones. There's that version, and then there's the version that's like open and it's just like a cage and you would just spin around. Yeah, that's one of my two favorites.
Mm-hmm. I have never been on a Gravitron.
Yeah, okay.
So Gravitron is when I got a little older, when I graduated to a more intense experience, because I was very freaked out by the idea of the Gravitron. And in case you don't know what it is, it's basically like a big flying saucer, at least this version is, where you go inside and it's completely enclosed, and it spins around really fast and pins you to the wall. So it's going for a couple minutes. I mean, maybe it was 90 seconds. It felt like forever. You could turn upside down on the wall, basically, because the force was pushing you so aggressively. You would just have fun on the wall.
Those little pads would like slide up. In this picture you pulled up, this woman is like at near the roof. And, like, her body is spread across two pads. Mm-hmm. That was so fun. And we would try to, like, lift our arms up against off the wall to see if you can, like, you can counter that centrifugal force. It was really fun. Gravity.
I'm concerned about some of the ceilings I'm seeing, though. Partially for filth, partially for just big metal bars, these things that look like spikes. I mean, probably you're not ending up at that part of the ceiling, like you're staying close to the wall, but I have my safety concerns about this one big time. I don't think.
Yeah, you're not strapped in. That one is really crazy.
But aesthetically, Scott, all of these.
Oh, it's fantastic! It's like ELO album covers.
Really good.
I like them very much. Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
But if I don't go on it, I just get to look. That's the way I win, is just looking at a Gravitron.
Would you go, Scott? Would you go on a Gravitron right now?
You mean just in like bored, quarantine addled state? Like, am I worn down enough to get on a Gravitron?
I would say if it's quarantine, I wouldn't go in a enclosed space with a bunch of people where it's spinning around. But say we all have either a vaccine or a Regeneron coursing through our veins. Would you go on a Gravitron if you came across it?
I guess so. Is there nothing else to do?
Well, there's a tilt-a-whirl.
Would you do it?
I'd go to tilt-a-whirl first, I'd say.
Let me sweeten the pot. Papa Scott, will you take little Jason on the Gravitron for the first time?
Well, I guess if I'm helping make somebody a man, then can't resist that. I'm going to do my part.
And then we'll take you on the tilt-a-whirl. Oh, if we can get a picture of the three of us on a tilt-a-whirl together, vaccine coursing through our veins. I mean,
vaccine coursing.
That's gotta
be. If I don't stir it up, it'll make it more effective.
It'll help.
It's like a centrifuge in a science lab, but giant.
I'm sorry, but there's a picture to the far left, and it's titled "How to Win at Gravitron," and this guy is standing. How is that?
Yeah, he's completely 90 degrees from all the other folks on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fascinating.
He probably works there, and he's been doing this, and his legs are incredibly strong.
This is like the super pro indoor skydivers. How when us rubes, us marks, were waiting to indoor skydive, and then you're watching the guys who work there super showing off.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's Gravitron pros out there.
Again, what were you saying?
Used rides.com, $120,000. You can get a Gravitron.
Wow, we should buy a Gravitron.
I actually have some related to this, the possibility of buying attractions. I came across some fun stuff because, one thing I like to do with various topics is go to eBay, type in the topic of the episode or some other anything else tangential, and look for price highest first to see how crazily high we can get and what's some of the weird stuff up at the top. And I did a little bit of that. I just put in Carnival on eBay, and that was it. And I found a bunch of stuff. I'll share the screen here. If we're interested in starting our own carnival, if we feel like we want to, you know, prove ourselves more, you know, work with our hand, prove that we're, you know, able-bodied and start touring the country, I think it'd be pretty easy for us to just buy a couple of carnival rides, because
oh, you just go on eBay
and for only $1 million there's all these bizarre listings. Almost all of them are not exactly $1 million, but $999,900. They bring it a little 16. Bit down just to not get you to that seventh digit. But you know, here we got like a big, I don't know what to call out of these. There's a swing one. There's a drop ride. We could buy a drop ride for $1 million.
Yeah.
And the strange thing about them, when you click on all of these, they all have kind of big, like, unseemly titles that go on and on that all end with We Finance. And then every one of them, it says item location is in Delano, Minnesota. But then if you dig further into the seller, it is clearly a Chinese company. The Chinese company is called Zynga Land, and their tagline is, "We dare you not to laugh." My theory is that they say that they are in Delano, Minnesota, because, like, all right, how do we prove that we are American? Well, let's just put a pin in the exact center of the country, like the middle of America, and then everyone will believe us. But all of these, they're just all really weird if you click on them. They all have the most bizarre descriptions, such as there's like a Dumbo type ride with a honeybee, and here's the description of that. This hot sale honeybee is widely used in theme park, Adventureland, etc. Just like you are flying in the flowers, feel the miracle and happiness. So play with your family and enjoy your life.
Oh my gosh.
And then you
someone's
you
like know. This is the answer.
This is what I I've lacked happiness, too much anxiety, depression, all the things we've been talking about. The answer is we have to buy this hot sale honeybee for $600,000.
And the answer to the mystery, like so much on the internet nowadays, it's like, oh, it's just a drop shipping scam. It's just a drop shipping scam. You can find that ride for like $100,000 on Alibaba. Yeah, they just rebrand it.
It should not cost that much money. That feels weird to me. And I don't think this is the way to start your carnival business. The other shady thing about these, there's one other ride that's a crazy octopus ride. All right, what's some more info about that one? And it says, crazy octopus ride. It has its roots in a piece of classical Latin literature from 45 BC. This book is a treatise on the theory of ethics, very popular during the Renaissance.
Wait, what? It's a book?
A book?
Oh, what?
It's a crazy octopus ride. Why does its descriptor say that it's a book from the Renaissance about ethics? Zynga Land is not careful about its
someone
eBay
is
listings.
Searching. Someone is searching for a book on the Renaissance on eBay, and they're looking at the description, and it's a fun-filled adventure for you and your children. Must be 42 inches or...
If you're looking for Renaissance books about ethics on eBay and then you don't read very carefully, you might end up buying $1 million carnival ride.
Yeah, really be careful. It's happening a lot, I think I've heard. So
yeah,
careful.
It's a very common scam out there. But anyway, you know, we talk about wanting to own Playland stuff from McDonald's, and you know, we could have this hot sale honeybee. We need somewhere to put it, but
I like the idea of owning a hot sale honeybee. So let's maybe make a best offer. Maybe offer a price on eBay.
Oh,
that's
sure.
A good idea.
Huh. What's the offer price? Like
$950,000.
Wow. Okay. Oh, you're still keeping it high. All right.
I was gonna say I'll put $7 on this offer, guys. Oh,
okay. Well, you could go that way if you want. But, okay. I just want to be respectful.
Use your $7 to chip into our $950,000.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Leanne, when you were working, did you say you got keys to a ride?
No, a golf cart. Because
you got keys to a golf cart.
Yeah.
Oh, so I thought you said go-kart, I think.
Oh, no. No. Oh, okay. I didn't get any access to any rides. I got tickets, and I did ride the Ferris wheel. No, I did ride the Ferris wheel. That's right. And it was just real. I think it was just to relax at the end of the day. And it was just really slow. It was small, too. It wasn't huge. Right. And that's, yeah. No tickets.
I have a question from back in the boot when you were describing the scenario. This is a community service scenario in which then at the end of the day, yeah, you get tickets. So this is like a circular thing. Like, you could, in order to save money on tickets, run traffic lights, go to court, yes, try to hope that you get to work at a carnival, and then...
It truly, yeah. I didn't have to pay anything. And I got to run a red light.
It's a thrill attraction in and of itself. Yes.
That was a thrill ride. It was so weird. Is the city was connected to it somehow. The woman running it like didn't really care what I did. And the whole time I was there, I was terrified that everyone thought I was like a convict who was doing community. Like, they didn't know why I was doing community service. So that was always in the back of my mind. It didn't feel like work. I felt like I was those kids. Like, they probably made $11 an hour. I just felt like I was just like in my teens again, like in a minimum wage job hanging out.
And what streaming service has optioned this story?
Quibi.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Bad news.
Really
news.
Sorry.
Wait, what?
But no.
Oh, I haven't been reading the trades, I guess.
Oh, shit.
Unfortunately, the Quibi office is packed up in the middle of the night, and now it's just an empty field again with some old, like, the only proof it was ever there was just some old flyers and crumpled up.
Janitor sweeping up.
Yeah, cotton candy sticks.
There's like a one glass jar of the candy, yeah, by a janitor sweeping up.
Still kind of smells like pizza.
Mm-hmm. Chrissy Teigen? We've never heard of her.
Jeffrey Katzenberg, the worst advance man, to use a carnival term. The person who beats the show into town and does all the permits and potentially payoffs if need be.
Jason, reading all these terms, were you like, this should have been my life?
I mean, yeah, it was kind of like, oh, man. This is so deep. There's so much here that's so, I could have lived this at least for a summer or two. Because
you're a big Music Man fan. You like the idea of rolling into town in a cart and fooling a bunch of people and then leaving. That's like a dream of yours.
Last train out when they're chasing you to the train and you're hopping on the caboose.
It's the Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney, Say, Say, Say video. Selling people an elixir that doesn't work.
I do wonder though, like, some of this carny lingo. I had never heard. Have you guys ever heard of a carny marriage?
I don't think so. This was weird. What's a carny marriage?
This was a little. It's one of those things where it's like a little too perfect. Like, where someone's like, I had the idea for the title of the movie. It came to me in the moment. This website says a carny marriage. Carnies are an unromantic lot as a rule.
What?
According to others, as a sign that a couple intends to be monogamous, parentheses, or relatively so, for a while, thus keeping the individuals, more or less, from straying and from unwanted romantic advances, they may engage in a carny marriage. The sign that they are, quote, married in the eyes of their fellows is a ride once around on the carousel or first wheel. A divorce is less formal, sometimes with a ride turning in the other direction, but more often at the end of the season or when both parties just say, to hell with it.
Wait. That's crazy. But that also makes me think that they're just all fucking all the time. And they're like, wait a minute, guys, we're monogamous.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
get on the ride.
You could probably... Honestly, I had never thought about that, but that makes, of course, too much sense that there's just a whole, like, we're like 15 people and we're all married to each other.
Yeah.
And also you, the guests.
Once you buy a ticket, you are married to us for the
you
night.
You are married to us, and no. It's going to be a great 3 days. It's going to be a great
part
long
of
weekend.
Marriage? No, no, carny no. Marriage. Why are we? People are mad about the phrase. I don't know. I'm not a barker. That's an offensive term, barker. But the, but like, well, what do you feel about carny? Oh yeah, love it. I'm a carny. I'm one of the carnies, and I'll engage in a carny marriage. Like, you'd think that would be the offensive term, if any, right?
Well,
right.
But we're in a field where people are still mad about sketch versus skit, you know? So who are we to judge?
Skit, yeah, skits.
I sure am. Don't demean what I do with skits.
If your parents says skit, they're an idiot.
They're out of here.
Get out. It's a sketch.
You know,
Matt Besser makes sketches.
That with there being no, you know, there won't be like a big family holiday party for me this year. I don't have to have the part where one of my parents' friends tells me an idea, points to someone at the party and says, "Now they're a character. You know, you should do make something about them. Put in one of Jay Leno's skits." Like, I feel like that's still what happened. Like, still somebody will tell me to submit something to Jay Leno now.
For his and you go do for a CNBC car show?
No, for the Jay Leno, for Jay Leno's skit show. What are you talking about?
Off the air for 5 years?
Yeah.
Not as far as I know. I haven't turned on a TV in a number of years, so he's still doing skits, ain't he?
He's got to be. Leanne, let's talk carnival food.
Mm. Oh yeah, funnel cake. Love funnel cake.
Funnel cake.
I also also at the Orange County Fair, which is a fair, not, it's kind of like it's the same thing. It's they're just like you said before, it's planted. Yeah. I had a hamburger on a Krispy Kreme donut, and that is shit is so good. It is like it's crack. It's just like the fat, and it's so good. It'll make your stomach hurt.
It's a beef patty. Mm-hmm. Does it have everything on it as far as lettuce
no.
and tomato? No.
It's okay. Like, it's just beef, cheese or not option, and then the Krispy Kreme donut. It's very
any,
good.
No ketchup or anything either.
No.
Just
no,
the beef.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I mean, my first instinct is to say that probably is good, but it also sounds disgusting. But if you really think about it, like eating something on a Hawaiian sweet roll, it's not so different than
it's
having
not.
A donut.
It's not. And it's just like fatty, cheesy, mm-hmm. meaty, sweet.
I was eating a sandwich a couple days ago and I had a donut and I as I said, I've been alone for a couple days and I ran out of dishes that were clean. They were all in the dishwasher.
Funny.
I just hadn't run it. It's not like they were in the sink. I swear to God. I put it in a bowl and then I put a donut on top of the sandwich and I was like, and I took like a bite and I was like, that's good. That has to like, that is good. It's not gross.
It's not gross, but
it's good.
It's weird. It's weirdly good. It just like hits all of the like everything on your tongue. That's like, this is mm-hmm. crack. I love it. I like funnel cake that. And then I recently started trying fried things. Like I'd never tried it. And it's like fried Oreos or fried bananas.
Snickers.
I'll see like deep fried Twinkies that exist.
Yes.
I haven't tried those. But it's like, especially at the county fairs, I've seen the pictures of the menu, which is like what you're saying. It's just like deep fried Oreos and it's like five pieces that are all deep fried and then Twinkies that are like have three layers of fat instead of one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not tried a lot of those what would you call them? Monstrosities? Is that too mean to the food?
fair food, I think is the term. Yeah.
Fair food. Okay, that's nicer than
culinary horrors.
There you go.
Abominations, yeah.
Godless food.
They don't exist anywhere else but fairs and carnivals.
Right.
So it's crazy. The deep fried Oreos I think are a little genius because it gets soggy and so it's just like having a donut with just like chocolate and frosting in the middle. So it doesn't
right.
the Oreo is gone, and it's just like a chocolatey frosty donut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's I mean, tasty. The best executions of Oreos are you dip it in milk, or like you pulverize it into ice cream. So, you know, changing
yeah,
it in some
Oreos.
Way.
I know. I actually hate Oreos.
Is that right? Really? People don't like Oreos just as they come?
They're so gross. Like, the cookie part is so dry. The frosting is good. I don't know. I like the vanilla Oreos, but not chocolate Oreos.
Interesting.
I guess I've heard that opinion. I'm fine with cookies for whatever reason.
I like Oreos. Oh. I like Oreos in general, but I don't have them a lot. I do think I probably like the double stuff Oreos better because the frosting is my favorite part.
Yeah.
You're gonna think I'm insane. I've done the like thin ones where you get less cream. I'm not saying I prefer that, but I've chosen.
I try that.
I feel like
that.
Having the thin one.
Yeah, I think can't. The thin. It's
I
an interesting. I will. I like
they don't taste
dry,
like chocolate either.
But
it's just
yeah,
like,
they're
what
not.
Is that
they're
flavor?
Not chocolate.
It's true. It's yeah. It's some yeah. other thing.
It's like
some
a
fakey,
bitter dry.
Yeah.
Chalky. I guess I don't deny any of this. I just don't mind it for whatever reason.
It's comforting, yeah. though, because you had them as kids. That's sort of maybe
yeah.
what a lot of
yeah.
people. Jason is still a milk and ice cream cookie dunker, which I am not.
Milk? Wait.
You dunk cookies in milk?
Yeah. I'll do
you
it
do
with soy milk
it,
or almond milk or regular
milk. But you
milk?
Do it like once a week.
I eat cookies most days. Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying like that to me feels like, yeah, you still regularly dip cookies in milk.
Yes, correct.
How many hours ago did you do it is what I'm asking.
I haven't done it in a while. I ate ice cream last night, but not a lot because it was cold. So I was getting cold, even colder eating the
ice
cream.
The spirits were out last night.
They were in the ice cream.
You know.
But I would dunk. I guess we really actually didn't even dunk cookies and milk a lot when I was a kid. So I guess I didn't even have that as part of a ritual.
Yeah,
I don't do it that often, but I do like. I understand the appeal of it. Oreos are much better dipped in milk because it gets softer, so you get a little. It gets a little squishy. I get it, but I don't seek out a glass of milk as soon as I have a cookie in my hand. I just
I'm giving Jason some grief, but honestly, like, is it that much different than having like Lucky Charms cereal? Like, it's just a bunch of candy. It's just candy soaking in milk.
Do you do that, Mike? Have you been having Lucky Charms?
I will say I had a big box of Fruity Pebbles a couple weeks ago.
Mm. Yes, my breakfast was Fruity Pebbles with banana. So
today.
Yeah, 2 hours ago. Yes.
They were on sale at Ralph's. You eat dessert all day, every day.
I know. Yeah.
How are you both not just like hulking creatures? That's what I'm impressed that you don't just swell up.
I'm 6'3".
I walk a lot, and I often forget to eat other meals. I just feel like, I feel like garbage. It's like, it's dinner time. I forgot lunch. I had the Lucky Charms and only water.
When I was young, I was never allowed to have those. I was so jealous of people who had those cereals. Like, I'd go to friends' houses and open their cupboards. And so I think the closest I got to sugar cereal was like Corn Pops. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I don't know if I've ever had Lucky Charms. I don't think I've ever had it. Yeah.
I'm not sure
I have either. This is another one of those tilt-a-whirls. I'm not sure that I have eaten Fruity Pebbles or
Scott,
Lucky Charms. Any, maybe either.
Yeah.
Your co-hosts are just going to give you the best fucking day of your life.
As soon as COVID's over.
Tilt-a-whirl.
Here, stuff it in. Here, handful. Go. Lucky Charms, Fruity Pebbles, milk, milk, milk.
Have you had Trix?
I think so.
I've had Trix, yes.
You think so? This is shocking.
I haven't had anything resembling any of this in 20 years. That I can say with confidence.
That's fine. I'm not offended by that.
Yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I'm not sure. I don't think too sugar cereal of a person.
Because that was always a staple of the little boxes at like hotels or like the breakfast. So I would get it there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
That's interesting because you have affection for a lot of these mascots. Have you had the monster cereals? Count Chocula, Boo Berry, Frankenberry.
I have never had any of this.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't regret it, though.
It's fine.
I think it'd be a bizarre diet to be fighting today. To be constantly having the craving for Boo Berries.
Scott is from here, California.
I'm Valley also. Here. Yeah.
Is this too personal a question? Can I ask what your parents did when you were younger?
What they did?
Yeah, their profession.
Like profession? Teacher and lawyer.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Neither of them was
like
a...
they were like professors or like...
none of them was an elf or a leprechaun or a vampire or a Frankenstein, if that's a part of the question. So if that influenced my cereal taste.
My parents were sugar salespeople.
Ah, that makes sense.
They both sold sugar for a living.
Sugar barkers.
Yeah.
They didn't like sugar talkers.
They like sugar talkers better, yeah.
And mine, one was a Kellogg, one was a Mills, so I guess it was just
their families feuded.
Yes, they were feuded. They were star-crossed cereal lovers.
Yeah, we only ate this in our house.
I'm going to talk about a carnival ride here. A ride called the Zipper. Do you guys know what a zipper is, if I say it offhand?
Spins around? It's like a tiny track in it.
You're like, the ride is like a big boom. I saw it described as, there's a big wheel on either end, like that rotates around. Your vehicle spins along this big thing as the entire thing flips around 360, and you are in one of 12 to 14 little L-shaped cages. Does that sound familiar when I say it's kind of like a seat shaped, yes. like mm-hmm. you could see where you would rest there on the bench. This is the thing when I was thinking about carnival stuff, like, and this is the thing I would not do. Zippers seem terrifying to me and seem shady to me. And then I was looking into it and I don't think they have been shady for a long time, but in the 70s, 4 people died on the zipper. And they had to dramatically change how they did zippers forever. There's one incident where it was an 18-year-old worker who was manning the thing. I don't know what happened. He said that he locked it up, but then they near the site of it, they found a loose pin on the ground. Oof. Which you're like, that's all that it was pin? It was all it was keeping the door from opening up like 100 feet in the air.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so they just had to, the zippers are not over. They do zippers still today, but they had to change how they build them. Jason, I don't know if you grew up with aware of a congressman named Bud Schuster, kind of an old battle axe in Pennsylvania. He tried to start a motion to ban zippers, and it didn't work. He didn't ban, zippers were not banned.
Hmm. Jason, do you know him?
I don't know him, no.
He seems kind of fun. He was very anti-zipper and yet also a vocal opponent of the airbag, like when Ralph Nader's trying to introduce airbags. So I don't understand. That seems like
priorities. Yeah.
Did Nader try to ban zippers?
He did not. I don't know. I don't think Nader has
weighed in on a zipper.
Yeah. He didn't care a lot about the carnival industry, I guess.
Was Nader anti-airbag?
No, pro-airbag.
He was a big, yes, car safety advocate and seatbelt activist. I think I said activist. Advocate would be the word. And I should learn how to speak.
That's okay.
Nader is the guy. Nader is the guy with seatbelt. He was the Fauci of
car safety.
So today we'd all be furious at him for trying to make us not die.
Mm-hmm. Well, people were furious at him a couple years ago.
Oh yeah. I guess so. People are always mad at.
mad.
Wait, why were people mad at him a few years ago?
Well, because he ran for president. Bush. And they believe in taking votes.
Yeah, that was.
I thought you meant people were mad at Fauci a few years ago, and I was like, I don't. Were they?
I was confused because that was 20 years ago. I was thinking that's my reference for NATO too, but
yeah,
you said
yeah.
A few. That's I was like, what has he done? He's back. What's he up to?
right. So no zippers for me with that history, even though they've fixed them.
I've never been on the zipper. That does make me uncomfortable. That's one of those rides where I'd have to go, all right, I'm doing it for the podcast, which mm-hmm. is a thing I think about now. There's rides that I really, really don't want to go on. I don't want to go on Tatsu at Six Flags, which is the one where you're kind of like Supermanning, right? That's the right
one, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. They lie you down as you go
right,
up.
Right, you're on your stomach essentially going through the air. I really, really am terrified of it. But if I can go, well, I got to go on it for the show. It'll be funny for the show. I probably will do it, but I really am scared of it.
Well, mm-hmm. the reason I never went on a Gravitron is because the way it was explained to me was like, okay, you go in, there's no seatbelts. Mm-hmm. And I believe when it was explained to me, someone was like, it's called the hellhole. And you go in, there's no seatbelts, and it starts spinning you really fast, and you're pressed against the wall, and then the floor drops out. And I think that's a bit of an exaggeration from the floor slowly lowers and you don't really need it because you're pressed against the wall. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point they may have added like light restraints. Like, okay, everyone, the older ones, you're not attached to anything. But like, yeah, newer ones, they strap you in. You can't do as much. So
right.
I would probably try it now.
Mm-hmm. Kamikaze, like other rides, the Kamikaze, which is, that's the, like, almost like, I've seen versions of it where it's like a pirate ship and it basically swings back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I've never been on one of those.
I like the pirate ship. That was my second, one of two of my favorite carnival rides. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I couldn't go on the Kamikaze either. It's too terrifying.
Mm. Like the two blades, basically, that go back and forth.
Yeah.
I see now. Yeah, no, probably
you're
wouldn't.
Not gonna do that.
No, Kamikazes, no. You know, you're more committed, I suppose. You know, doing things for the podcast, you're right. Might it be funny if I went on the Kamikaze? Maybe. do I feel guilty in any way about not? No, not at all.
Let me ask you this, if we were doing like a TV show, would you be like, oh god, all right, I'll do it for the show? Like, if, like, to be, because it would be funny to watch us be scared.
I suppose so. There'd be more in it. Because, like, what's the point, really, in going, so then I got in the thing, and I was so scared. You should have seen me. If you had seen the look on my face. But if there was a visual component, maybe there'd be more in it.
Right. Leanne, we've talked about before, Scott's a big Beach Boys fan, and to entice him to get on one of these scary rides, I said, if you were to ride it with Beach Boy Mike Love, would that be enough incentive to get on? And I'm trying to remember, it was, what ride was it again?
Was that King Dakar, the scary coaster in New Jersey?
Isn't Mike Love like the bad one? Like he's
for sure the bad one.
He's lost.
He's horrible. Yeah. He's a bad man. But of course, you know, I want to like ask him questions and stuff.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
It'd be the most interesting to talk to in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But is there anything,
man?
Leanne, is there any like celebrity you would be like, well, I'd have to go on with this person, like, because the photo op would be insane. So you would get back on a crazy roller coaster, like Goliath. Like, I would go on with this celebrity, or even just for a large amount of money. Is there a price?
Oh, large amount of money for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so Goliath.
Yeah.
I would do Goliath. Oh God.
Does anyone pop into your mind like, well, I got to do it if. I don't know.
No, I don't think there's anyone in the world that I like.
Okay.
I don't, celebrity doesn't.
Sure.
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, okay, maybe if I could have lunch with like Paul McCartney or something.
Okay. But not Goliath with Paul.
No. Okay. I just be terrible. I feel like I couldn't enjoy. I couldn't talk to him.
Right.
It might kill him. Like, I wouldn't want to do that.
Now, that is a concern. Yeah.
That is a concern.
My Mike Love worry, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what if Mike Love died next to you on King to Ka, Scott?
Well, there we go. Yes. If I'm present for the moment of Mike Love's demise.
I think what if I could, stand in line with him for an hour.
Sure.
And then, you know, the price is going on the ride, yeah.
Paul is so cheap, he doesn't pay for the fast pass. Okay. I like that question because I try to gauge exactly what the fear is. If it's like an easy one or if it's like, nah, I don't know.
Well, I guess money, I wouldn't go below like $20,000.
Okay. Wow. That's that fear is strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other... Oh, bumper cars. At the carnival.
Oh, yeah.
Do we like bumper cars? Because I feel like I always like the idea of it, but it was never a satisfying experience.
I liked them, but I feel like there were kids who would get in and immediately were like, I got this. Like, I know how to nail people. And I feel like every now and then, like, there were some very slow moving. I liked, like, the when I was younger, the really little ones. Because you can't do too much damage, but I feel like I got nailed a number of times at, like, some of the bigger, faster ones.
Yes.
Oh, and there's some where you're only supposed to go one direction. And I fucked that up as a kid once. Like, you're supposed to go around an area. Mm. And I had never encountered that. I had always encountered, like, the big open ones. And, like, started immediately going the wrong way. And everyone started yelling at me. So that was an unpleasant experience.
Yeah. Leanne, were you going to say something?
I liked it because, like, it was uneventful, I feel, and anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. But it was fun that, like, you and, like, six friends could be in, like, a same space together rather than... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just felt like that was the best part. Like, you could look across and be like, oh, yeah, that's my friend. I'm going to go get you.
Right. It felt, it felt like a little more, you could, like, it felt like you had a lot of freedom, too, but you really didn't have too much. And then I think I was in Jason's boat where I would just get like nailed constantly. Like, I wasn't doing any of the aggressive stuff. I was just getting hit over and over again.
Yeah. I think as long as we got no sparks, like, I don't want to see like large physical sparks. Yeah. That's where it
gets
shady. Isn't
that how they operated? Like, there'd be like a pole that would touch the top and it would just like,
Is that still just what it is? Like at a more elevated park, like a Knott's? Is it just, are we just sparking up? Is that how it still works?
I think there's different versions of it because I remember there was sort of I really should look into it, but it was only there in my hometown. There was like a big building and all of a sudden just this like carnival opened up inside of it. I think they were going for a Chuck E. Cheese thing, but it was just like a big empty warehouse and they set up a bunch of games in there. And there wasn't like a ceiling on their bumper cars, and the gentleman carny who was working it would hop on the back of the cars while you were riding.
Oh my God.
Which was scary. Very scary.
There was
no ceiling. There were no sparks in that version. So I wonder if there's a couple different, I mean, I guess we'll probably get into it when we eventually do bumper car episode. Mm-hmm. But there's another podcast that we sort of have a feud with that kind of specializes in bumper cars. So I don't know.
Is there really?
No. Well,
the bumper car boys are our enemies. I've never looked into it, but they talk about, like, they don't care about Disney or Universal or the big good one. They talk about bumper cars like 85% of the episodes. Just really like give a big finger to everything that we like, and that's why they're our enemies.
Yeah. So this episode in general might be we're gonna get their ire.
We're even like infringing on their territory at all.
We're
allowed to talk about whatever we want.
Right. We can do it. I think there's a variety of ways, the bumper car mechanism can work.
Mm-hmm. That'd be another good. It's always that narrow space. It is like a floor of an office building. And if they are looking for something to do with the former Quibi office, it's converting it into
a big old bumper car.
Yeah. Just make that ceiling electric.
Yeah. That'd be easy enough. I'm not a huge fan of bumper cars, but again, I like the idea of it. Go-karts I like the idea of more, although I've never actually been go-karting.
Oh, I went once in Vegas. It was pretty. It was fine. I guess I think it'd be more fun when I was younger and I didn't drive a car.
Sure.
And I'm like, yeah, like, cool, I get to do this. But when you get in, it's just like this little like cart and you just drive around a track and you can't like bump it. You can't do what you can do with bumper cars. It's
right.
It's
you can't run red like, lights. Oh, you're living dangerously on the real road.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I could take my car 80 miles per hour at that little bumper car.
Sure.
Yeah, what haven't we talked about? There's the, I don't know, there's the ring of fire. That's the where it sort of just like gains momentum in a big loop until it spins all the way around. But it's really unnerving, like, because it does, like, right before it does the full one, it is almost there and then hangs for a little bit. I think, you know what bugs me about a lot of them, and I'd put Zipper in the Sand Ring of Fire, is the resemblance to cages. Just that you, it's not a fun cage like Casey Jr. I don't find them fun because of the, like, it's just such small, inescapable, it's like the lots of little triangles kind of cage. And then the cage is going to do a thing that kind of upsets my body. I'm in a mobile cage that's going to upset me. And that's what a lot of these things feel like to me.
It feels like maybe like the last ride on the Zipper before the carnival leaves town, they just say, keep the doors locked. All the people get stuck in there and then they take them to the next town and then train them to be carnies against.
Oh, they like brainwash them on the, along the way.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, God. All the cars are pumped full of, like, audio teaching them carny language. They're just, like, reciting that dictionary, that glossary that Jason read.
Yeah. We're playing for another biggin.
We're biggin. We're laying for it. It's just, like, this hypnotic kind of thing that draws you in.
Oh. Two biggins
now
for
a
jumbo.
That's a good marker.
Yeah. So,
on to this carny brainwashing scam. That's why, yeah, no last ride of the night. Don't ever do it. If anyone listening, you're just going to get driven one town over before you know it. And you're like, you get out of there and you're way more grizzled. You look like you aged 30 years. Mm-hmm. You use lots of like terminology like marks. And nobody knows what you're talking about anymore.
Well, it's punishment. It's two things. One, this is literally, I believe, the plot of Something Wicked This Way Comes, the Ray Bradbury book. I think a very old Jason Robards was in the movie version. And two, I bet the people that they do that to are two of my favorite phrases I came across in the glossary, lot lice and looky loos. Those are guests who come early, stay late, and they walk around and they don't buy anything. So that's their punishment. They get loaded up and they get loaded into the ride and driven to the next town. So don't, if you're a lot lice or a looky loo, you know?
Don't be a looky loo.
Don't be a looky
loo. They just developed 30 ways to show their disdain for everybody who comes to their carnivals.
Yeah, that's right.
All of this stuff, all of this American entertainment, and I think like they had fun fairs in the UK, but all this stuff started just to be tricks. Everything was just a trick. Everything
was
just
to swindle people. Yeah. Right. It was just like total. And now it's
so funny.
You were talking earlier about how like all of entertainment sort of comes from this, and it does.
Yeah.
You know, like comedy, the variety show, all of that stuff, and it's become this like multi-billion-dollar industry. But yeah, it's so funny that it started off just like, how can we swindle all these people out of their money?
Really, the Barker was the original promoted tweet. Think about that for all the rest of the week until our next episode comes out.
Step right
up. That's a really profound statement.
Step right up. See the monolith that appeared in Utah and now in Romania. What is this monolith? Huh?
Yeah, it's all the same thing. Any final thoughts, memories? Anyone's got?
Oh yes, or details about your brief carny experience. Do you miss any of the 18-year-olds? Have you kept in touch?
No, I don't. And I don't. I really didn't even think about it until Jason reached out to me. Yeah, I no, I yeah. No.
There was not a strong. You didn't. You weren't in a carny marriage with the.
No, I did not get in a carny marriage. It's fascinating. I would watch a documentary on carnies in like a heartbeat. If like a documentary, because I'm fascinated because I know there's something rich in there. I feel like I just touched the surface of it.
There's a movie about carnies that I would not watch in a second because I saw the trailer. Is a movie starring Jodie Foster and Gary Busey, 1980. We're talking about scary movies. I don't know why I didn't talk about Carnie then. I couldn't even make it through half of this trailer. This is the scariest Joker shit I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Said,
you know,
we all say
Joker's like king of comedy, but Joker's also a lot like Carney. Seeing a young Gary Busey put paint on his face and get demented and yell at Jodie Foster, he seems to like sort of abduct her. And there's a weird line about like, another carny is like, "Well, why are you always hanging out with your girlfriend?" And he says, in clown makeup, "She's our girlfriend."
Oh.
Whoa.
It's like the most upsetting movie I've ever seen.
It's the name of it is Carney?
Carney from
1980.
Yes, I'm going to check this out. truly a trailer. I couldn't even make it all the way through. Watch along with Carney, not coming to podcast the ride.
All right, we won't do that as an episode, but I will do that. Take a plane class for the show.
Try it. Let me know.
Maybe we can get a comp because we'll promote it on the show.
It counts as themed entertainment. Now, if anything happens to that plane,
I know.
Like, now that you've said it, I'm not doing it. It's off. You put it into the world, Scott.
No,
there's no way.
It's a quick jaunt, you know.
No, I don't want to even entertain
LAX,
that.
LAX to Little St. James round trip.
Hey, wait, what? Little St. James?
Little St. James.
Well, someone's got to work.
The Epstein Island.
You're part of this carnival now. You're this kind of pony now.
Musha K, maybe, but not Little St. James, Jason.
Okay.
Musha K, David Copperfield's Island.
You know, the conquering fears, that's what, is there any fear, like, we've been cooped up for a while. Is there a fear, Leanne, that you'd want to conquer after all this carnival or otherwise?
I think it'd flying and, yeah, I think it would be flying because I feel like I went to Japan a couple years ago and it was just like the start and the cap of my wonderful trip was just like terror. I would love to travel and not finish out a nice trip terrified. I think it'd be flying.
And unfortunately, there's a new reason to be terrified of flying currently.
I know. COVID.
That's correct.
Hey, look, it's perfectly safe. According to studies commissioned by the airlineindustry.com.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Gary Busey's carny character.
And Gary Busey's
who wrote this
character.
Study? Cut to him and a.
We wrote this study.
Awesome. Hey, well, thanks for talking to us about carnival stuff.
Thanks
sharing
for having me on.
Carny memories, Leon Bowen. You survived podcast the ride. Let's exit through the prize booth. Instead of the gift shop, is there anything you'd like to plug?
No. I guess Ted Lasso's on Apple TV right now. Get someone's password because it's not worth it. No, I'm just. I don't know. I'm sure they'll add more better stuff to their slate. But yeah, check it out.
I think you get a year of Apple TV if you buy a phone or a laptop. So that's all you have to. So really, Apple TV is free if you otherwise give Apple $3,000.
Yes, $3,000. Yes.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, do that, everybody.
On the cheaper end of things, for $5 a month, you can get 3 bonus episodes of Podcast the Ride at Podcast the Ride. The second gate, patreon.com/podcasttheride, and we're on all the social medias and all the things. Is there a way that a carny would say goodbye? Is there a carny terminology for getting the hell out of this burg?
I think you would just try to do it like fast in the middle of the night. You know, is there an Irish goodbye? Is a Carney goodbye the same as an Irish goodbye, just for a massive caravan of equipment, I guess?
I don't know. That's another thing to ponder here.
Yeah.
I guess the thing to do is to just say, so long, suckers.
So long, suckers. So long, I got your money, suckers.
We never saw them again.
You marks, you loser marks.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.